I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Junkside Mayfield Podcast post-trade pre-draft 2020 edition. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios, Rock Carter Studios, and the newly commissioned Craig Coombe Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has lost his job as the list manager at Collingwood. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, g'day, Michael. Mate, tumultuous week I've just come out of, and it's a shame. I thought I was doing a really good job, you know, but you just can't get everything right, and you can't please everyone all the time. Now, obviously, the big, you know, stories of Treloar and Stevenson are gone, but the thing that brought me undone was I extended Dane Beams's contract for 8 years. I said, mate, I'll give you $1 million a year, but we'll back end it. And so not until 2028 when we'll have to pay you $8 million. And they said, mate, that's bigger than the actual salary cap. And I said, mate, I'll find a way. And then they came back to me and said, mate, you can't find a way. That is, that means he'll be the only player on the list. And so they fucking cut me loose. So I am out of a job. So if anyone needs a brilliant list manager, I know how to get a team. Like, I can build a team that can make the finals without a key forward. And and have the same one-pace midfield. I am the guy to build you a team.
Yeah, sure. You can build a team that I think is goalless in the first half of a final. I know, one goal. Yeah.
If you're looking for that, I'm your man. So if you... North Melbourne, fucking come for me, mate. I don't know what I'm doing.
Adam, we have a very special guest. I think it's about, the fifth or sixth year that we've talked to this?
I think it is, yeah.
Fifth year, there we go. We have a very special guest. The favourite show that we do this all year, and one of the favourites of the Junk Timers out there. We've got a very special guest. Our guest, special recruiter for Port Adelaide during their premiership year, football expert Craig Coombs. Good to see you, mate.
Hey, thanks for that. Very nice. My own studio. That's good.
Oh, absolutely.
Do I get a plaque or something that I can, you know, put above my chair where I live? Or what's well,
we've got the empire. We've got Joe Watson Studios in New York. We've got Mark Zanotti Studios in Brisbane, I believe.
Yep.
Jeez.
And Rod Carter and Wayne Jackson. So we need to get one in Perth. Who do you think we'd have in Perth, Adam? Who do you think? Carl Langton Studios, do you think?
Maybe Daniel Kerr. It'd be a bit of fun, or the Daniel Chick Studios. I think, you know, just maybe both. You know, Daniel Kerr and Chick Studios. I think it'd be a bit of fun.
Ben, how about Ben?
And I see, yeah, people go straight to Ben, but that's why we go with that. And we could have it opened. We could have the ribbon cutting with Basil Zemplis. As you know, there'd be no homeless people around that studio or transgenders, as Basil let us know.
Dude, yeah, Basil kicked off the first week very strongly, didn't he?
Oh, he's come out of the blocks. He said, I'm going to be mayor and I'm going to put transgender onto the agenda.
Yeah, sure. But then also, like, he was mayor for a week and he did all that on the radio. And then he said, I've got to remember that I'm mayor. It's like, dude, you're wearing gold chains around your neck. You're mayor.
You can hear them clanging on the radio, you fucking idiot.
He might have got confused with his other job, you know, as 50 Cent. Impersonator or something with his chains.
It's mad. So, Coombs, we thought we'd talk about the trade period, get your views on that, and then we'd also go through the top 10 of the draft as you've done, as we have done the last few years. And we get, about 8 or 9 out of the top 10.
Correct, every year, eight minimum every year.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I guess the first question I'll ask you, because we are going to talk a lot about the trades, is in your role as recruiter, were you involved, and I know this is kind of dumb, in the list management ongoing with the club, or did they just come to you and say, these are the needs that we have, we need, you know, a midfielder or a key position player, or How did that kind of come to you, like the breakdown of what was needed in the draft?
As a group, we were told each year where the specifics lie. We had no hand at all in the trading at Port. It wasn't our job, recruiting was, but we were told to look for specific types to keep that list regenerating. Always the first pick was always the best player, doesn't matter. That was the
ethos. Is that because you had, you know, good key position at the time? So you got Warren Treadray, you had really strong back line. So you kind of weren't in the need, whereas say you had a pick five and you didn't have Warren Treadray there, would you be on the lookout for, even if he wasn't the best player in the draft, but it was a key position one, would you go for that? That kind of need?
Not a pick five. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Best player with your first pick if it was first round.
Yep.
And it didn't matter if you had eight midfielders, well, you'd have nine. It was always best player. After that, it was needs basis where we'd have a schooling guys listed, best midfielders, best tall forwards, best tall defenders, best tall utilities. And we were like, okay, this is where the list needs replenishing the most. This is where the most, and it would have been the backup for Treaders would have been that option 1 year.
Yep.
And it changed for every year. Sometimes it's just, cold recruiting, which basically means go to a game so you can see and it'll sort itself out as the year goes. But first pick was always just the best guy that's next on that list.
What if he was a ruckman? What if he was a ruckman up early in the top 10? Because that kind of, until Luke Jackson and Nick Nat got taken, ruckman really didn't go early.
That's a really good point. It's quite rare, isn't it?
Can't remember any.
Like Grundy slipped down to what, 17 or 18? He was quite late.
Which was crazy.
Tim English was a late pick.
Can't think of any that would have been knocking on that door. It's been my time at Port or Hawthorn.
Do you remember in the years that you did it, was it, were you more keen on forwards or more keen on backmen, or was it more keen on midfielders, like when they put the call out, we need to, strengthen an area, which division it was?
Every year, Pelkin had his daisy chain, which meant, you don't break the links and only looking for the next best through each line. So the object of Port was that each line had, the set six main guys and then three or four that were the next fill and then three or four that were the next fill. And it was primarily about where is the next guy coming through. If they're looking at D-list and, a halfback flanker that wasn't doing so flash, well, that would be the target for the next one.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
That's where he goes. And it had to be the same all the time.
What's it like when you're looking at a list? How far ahead, is the list planned 2 years? Is it just a rolling thing to go, we're probably going to lose this player at this point and, we're going to need someone to replace him in 2 years' time, so keep an eye out. How far ahead do you look in terms of a list?
Under 16 championships always starts there.
Okay.
You'll hear about a kid at, 13 or 14, and it's like, let's just keep an eye on this guy as he comes through. But they change so much, in growth and ability and understanding the game. But it's the under 16 championships, which we always used to attend as well, or, if we weren't working full time. Otherwise, we'd still get mail on it, we'd still get video, and if we could go to the championships, the under 16s, if we weren't working, you were encouraged to, and that's when that first fill happens. So then we watch them, and then they do know. Like, we're looking at a 28 year old guy, it's only got a couple of years to go, this is where we're probably at, so let's have a look at him. But you can't do much about them, because you see guys will grow 7 or 8 centimeters over the summer. You see him play in the September, you turn up to watch him at Oakley in February. And you go, I distinctly remember one bloke that stood out for me in 2000 and, might have been my last year, poor second last year. Anyway, my son had got put on the Sandy Dragons list. So I went to first lot of training with him, and so he got selected as a bottom age player. So I turned up and I saw this guy just smashing the time trial, just destroying him. I go, this guy's, geez, who's he? And when I finally was told it was Matt Thomas, I went, no, that's not Matt Thomas from September. His body shape had changed incredibly. He got a little bit bigger, taller, but his running ability just was off the charts. And that was not the same guy that I saw in September. And I seriously couldn't believe it. I had to try to clarify it. And then I found someone pointed out his dad, and I went over and said, "This is your son, Matt, that was at Melbourne Grammar that played like a couple." "Yep." I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "He just took the bull by the horns and went at it. And all of a sudden he grew. And then his body could cope with weights and things like that." And I think after the second training session, I grabbed him as he was walking out one day. I said, "Oh, hey, can I talk to you for a second?" I said, "Do you know who I am?" He goes, "Yeah, you're Joel's dad." And I went, "No, do you know anything else?" He goes, "No." I said, "Well, I've worked in Port Adelaide." And I said, "And you'll be
I've done time. I had a pill press.
What do you need, mate? What do you got for schoolies?
Well, that was down Sandy Dragon. So, you know, I said to him, "You'll be wearing a Port Adelaide jumper at the end of the year." And I got straight on a Pelk and I said, "If you want someone who lives, sleeps, eats and breathes the Port mantra and is tough as nails, this is what we need." And sure enough, we drafted him in that year. So,
can we quickly have a look at the year that was? Take you back into the strange year, first round, and then we have about a 3 or 4 month break until we have the rest of the season, 17 rounds all up. Do you think the best team in the end won?
Yep.
Yep.
We tipped them last year, so you know, we got it right again. So true. Too bad, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, 3 out of 4. And then you think about that 2018 where you go, geez, could have been 4 in a row. Like, should have caught that one up, yeah.
One bad quarter, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of, so Geelong lose, they get Jeremy Cameron for 3 first-rounders. How much did Geelong weigh up what that's going to cost them in 4 years when they have those midfielders?
Yeah, and I looked it up before. So the Geelong's gone with 13, 15 and 20 for Jeremy Cameron. And I looked up the list before. They don't get into the draft this year until pick 51. Now, they could still trade in and out until the actual draft itself on December 7th. But they...
51 and 96.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they get 2 second-rounders, I think, next year.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yep. And look, next year's draft is pretty good compared to this year. This is pretty thin. And the other thing that worries me is the fact that a lot of these kids haven't played. It's literally, you're not going to know what's going on with half of them. And it's so hard because, like, well, have they grown? Have they done the work on their own? You know, you'll find the guys that did do all the hard work and it'll be a kid that's somehow picked at, you know, 52 by GWS. It turns out to be a Jet.
We had a question from Alex just saying, given the lack of exposed form this year, you know, particularly not being played in Victoria, is this the best year to kind of sit out the draft?
Yeah, well, I think the fact is they've now lowered it to one pick. You only got to have one pick instead of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Tigers might be one or two picks. And if I was Richmond, I'd have one pick and I'd be going, "Yep, that'll do, thanks. I'll be out of here." It's just an unknown. It's a massive unknown.
And so if Geelong don't get a premiership out of this, do you think it'll come back to bite them in, you know, 4 years when they don't have those three players that they could have replenished sort of through the midfield? Like, they're topping up. They've got Sean Higgins in. They've got Isaac Smith. They're going for it next year. How long do you reckon it'll...
I've forgotten about Isaac Smith. Jeez.
Yeah. Do you think it'll hurt them? Sorry, Michael. Sorry to
already, Chamber.
Yeah, I know. See,
sorry to Isaac Smith here without notice. But,
no, it's funny because I've written down, like, you know, maybe the 10 biggest trades and I didn't have Smith on it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, God, sheesh. Yeah, friend of the show.
Yeah, got him for nothing. And I think, look, they're clearly telling the members what we're doing, aren't they?
Yeah.
We're rolling it into 2021. You know, what the picks they give at 10, 13 and 15... 10, 13, 15 are still going to be pretty good players in this draft. It's after that where I worry. But again, you're still not sure they're going to be good players because you haven't seen the exposed form that you would have seen.
Yep.
And the kid you pick at 10, you know, you may have had him, let's say, from his under 16, under 17 years, he may have been at 50 or vice versa. You know, guy you got at 10 all of a sudden hasn't grown. Looks like he hasn't done some hard work during the break and he's going to drift. They've gone in on 1 year, clearly, because then, you know, Hawkins and the other boys are getting a bit older. I know some people look at Geelong and go, Smith, Higgins, Cameron, but they've lost Taylor, who was a good general down back.
Yeah.
They've lost Ablett, who did provide something still as that small forward. So you think Higgins replaces Ablett in that sort of role? Smith comes onto a wing. How much value, you know, was a wing an issue for them? I thought
not at all. No, Menegola and Duncan.
So what happens to one of those two? Where do they go?
Yeah. And then also at Kajini Park, not so much space to run around on that wing either.
Well,
that's very thin down there.
The other issue. It is. So what? Yeah. Where are you going to put Smith?
Yeah.
So are you saying that this...
Not playing.
Are you saying that this year is not the year for Essendon to have picks 6, 7 and 8? Like, is this the year that you're just like, oh, fuck, what a waste. Almost.
What a waste. No, not almost. But again, 6, 7, 8 should still be good pick, but... Is that caveat on every player this year?
Yeah.
But there's no way I'd be looking at going through unless they're cooking up, you know, because we can still trade out some picks later and maybe do a someone who's delisted they're going to look at. Because I reckon a few of those blokes are going to get a chance sort of later in the draft because you're going to go, well, I'm not sure about this kid, but at least I know this guy is AFL body ready and he has played and he can play. And if he doesn't, we'll flick him after a year anyway and then we'll go back into next year's draft. So...
Would it never been a better time to be a WA player, so Australia player, Tasmanian player?
Well, they've grown in even in my numbers because I've done a fair bit of watching the vision and even guys that at the start of the year I had a look at some lists where certain guys were ranked and rated and, you know, it might have been, I think one of them was 30 or 40 odd and he's now in the top 5.
Yeah, wow.
Because he's done well against the grown men and that's helped. Yep. And there's going to be a few of those guys are going to get a leg up. The other thing with Geelong that worries me is about Cameron and Hawkins together. It took a while for Riewoldt and Lynch to sort of get some synergy.
Yep.
So you think that's going to be the same issue. But then, so Hawkins wants the footy. Cameron wants the footy. Higgins wants the footy. And if Dangerfield sneaks in there, he wants it. So who's going to get it?
Danger.
Well, then it's the other guys you're paying truckloads of money coming in. Oh, I reckon Dangerfield's going to have to get out of there and go back to the midfield full-time because Selwood's clearly not that full-time midfielder anymore. Duncan's overtaken him.
Yep.
I'm not convinced they've done the right thing here, to be honest. I just...
During the trade period, are there ever trades that just like fall in your lap? Like the Adam Treloar one, the Western Bulldogs would have been going, what the fuck, mate? This is, we thought we were losing Josh Dunkley. We didn't. And they get Adam Treloar, which does not help any issues that Josh Dunkley has about not getting enough midfield time. And actually, it adds to it. But do you get like trades like that just fall and you go, this is unbelievable? Like, did that happen in your time at Port or the Hawks?
Yeah. There was always sort of one, there you go. You've always heard them say, I can't believe that guy was there in drafts.
Yep.
But in trading as well, you think, I'm not sure they're really going to go for this or they're not going to. And I remember the Pelkin and Alan Stewart masters at doing this. Those two incredible examples. Byron Pickett was coming out of contract the year after. And they... hypothetical, let's say. That's the easiest way to cover this. They may have said they had a chat with Byron. He was really keen to come the year after.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get anything for him. So if you trade him this year, we'll at least give you something.
Yep.
And it was thought of like, well, good try, but they're not going to fall for that. And then I think it was Pelkin who rang and said, they're keen.
Yeah, wow.
And I think Choco's like, yeah, right, don't play these silly games. What? He goes, no, they're keen. I mean, hurry up. If this is not a joke, hurry up and do it and don't. And we were all just like, are you joking?
Yeah.
Choppy is perfect fit. And bang, Norm Smith the year after, 26-1, I believe, maybe.
But I suppose that's the nature of it in a way by the fact that, I suppose Cameron says he wants to come back for family and stuff like that. But I suppose if you just name a club, like it's kind of fallen at your feet already, hasn't it?
Well, wasn't Phillips to Hawthorn just another one?
Phillips to Hawthorn,
Yeah, that was like a complete salary dump.
What?
That was like
what happened that?
pick 64, so it was like a fourth rounder. You just go, fuck, Tom Phillips is way better than that.
Oh.
So what's your take then, Coombsy? Because, I mean, they ditched Treloar, they ditched Stevenson. So Stevenson's done a bit of media and he said that Bucks had told him that he wasn't opening himself up to the group. And then there seems to be, with Treloar, it seems to be, they think, with a split family this year, with his wife playing netball in Queensland, that they wouldn't be able to get the best out of him. But it,
and they covered themselves in glory by saying that as well. That was a really nice look.
It really seemed a bit shit, didn't it? It really did seem a bit shit.
I mean, that line was fucked. Like, Ned Guy, when he went on Fox Footy, was one of the most, how they didn't stage manage that beforehand. Like, they go, all right, you're going to go on Fox Footy. They're going to ask you some hard questions. This is our line, right? Mm. And they didn't. And he has just fucking said the most crazy shit that, as a club, you'd, like, if you were the media manager in there going, oh, fuck, why is he saying that?
Sure. It was a bit Trump-esque, yeah. And so Treloar had 5 more years to go on a contract. Now, and then Stevenson's been given 5 years at the North. For me personally, I think these 5-year deals, these 7-year deals, they're ridiculous.
They're not long enough.
And they're going to be out the door because clubs will be panicking. You forgot about poor old Aotu Bosivalungi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was doing okay. But how do you reckon Brody Grundy feels? He's like, fuck, I just signed a 7-year deal. Am I going to get this cash or am I not going to be in the Gold Coast Suns in 2 years?
He'll be worried, won't he?
The thing. It seems like a contract doesn't mean anything anymore.
Well, no, it's not worth the piece of paper it's written on, is it? Yeah. But there's little...
What if it's written on gold paper?
No. There's just little bits and pieces coming out about Collingwood here that just don't seem right, because from what I understand, Treloar is a very well-liked player.
Yep.
And the one they sort of don't like, they ended up having a gate. From the player's point of view, anyway.
Who's that?
Hypothetically. the big fella.
Is that right? He's not... he found it tough in the hub because there were no books in the hub, and he couldn't do his graffiti in the hub, and it was fucking hard work. Yeah. I feel for him.
And it's, you can see the Richmond thing, all they bonded together quite well as friends. There was a few splinters in the Pies one, but the other thing is that with all the hardship that's happened this year, the AFL, hypothetically, the AFL doesn't want any more. So you really don't want to have to fine a club for being salary cap breaches, do you?
Okay.
So, hypothetically. So what we'd rather do is at least you be a bit proactive and get something sorted, then that's not going to happen this year. It's just like that arms, what was it? Remember a few years ago? If you got a gun, give the amnesty back to us and the amnesty, thank you. If you've got a gun, chuck it in, nothing's going to happen to you.
They did that in the 90s, didn't they? And Carlton and Essendon came forward and said, we may have paid people. Carlton paid Greg Williams and Steve Kernahan and a whole bunch of players, may have paid them under the table. And, the amnesty, we went, hey, now we're clean. We're good guys.
Well, I think it was a private amnesty that
if you
do some things here, we won't do that because it's a difficult year. We don't want to have to do that.
I just want a calm ship. Just kind of, we've gone through a lot.
You talk about issues in the hub. The mail that I got was that Josh Dunkley wasn't happy with some of the party players up at the Doggies. And so he wanted out. He didn't like the culture that was being created up there. And so he wanted out because of that. And so when I want to go to Essendon, and obviously didn't get the job done, so now he's got to stay at the club and hang around with those shit loose units that he doesn't like.
Well, it was interesting. The first kind of half of the trade period, it was all about Essendon, and then it kind of very quickly shifted to Collingwood. So Sard has now gone to Carlton, and Fantasia has headed off to Port. But for not a while there, it seemed like everyone was jumping out of Essendon.
Coombsy, did you ever deal with Adrian Dodoro? Because he seems like a really pleasant, easygoing bloke.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with the trades, but I heard the stories because we'd have meetings, obviously, and we'd be updated on where things are at. Port were brilliant with all the information. Even though that wasn't our job as recruiters, we were always kept informed every night of what discussions we were having with who, where they were at. And a general theme of things was they're a difficult mob for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
Long time.
Because even Jason McCartney gave them a clip just on Fox Footy the other day. He just said they were really difficult to deal with when we were trying to get, you know, a pick back for Caldwell. And they were just, he said they were just fucking arseholes, basically.
But I also think what they'd done was in regards to Dunkley wasn't quite right, saying, well, if you come, we'll put your brother on the list.
Yeah.
I reckon that's a bit unfair on a bloke who deserves to be on a list. He goes, well, it's not my fault I haven't got a brother. I mean, that's a good player. You know, I mean, I don't think that's right, is it? To go, well, if you come, we'll give your brother a spot.
Yeah.
I suppose it's brother going, the deal.
Give me a spot. I want to earn it. Yeah, but would the brother feel like, well, I'm, you know.
Oh, he knows his, mate, he got delisted from Melbourne. He knows his shit.
And he goes, we're going to play with you. You won't be playing with your brother. You'll be training with your brother. I mean, it's a very big difference.
Yeah, yeah. Your brother can drive you to training, but yeah.
But I'd feel a bit like, oh, great. What am I? You know, steak knife, am I?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit like they've thrown in steak knives, haven't they? And then it also puts pressure on the player. It's like,
I don't know if it's a steak knife. It was more of a plastic
knife.
McDonald's spoon.
It snapped in half and was washed out to sea and found in the stomach of a dolphin.
I suppose
dolphins.
A couple of the other big ones, Jesse Hogan to GWS, Alir.
A big one.
That was an interesting one, wasn't it? Like, clearly, Justin Longmuir. Justin Longmuir was keen to get rid of him. I mean, you know, Jesse, he was struggling in hub life. He couldn't get it. He couldn't get the action. The poor bloke. And so now he can go to Sydney, Western Sydney, and you know, fucking
no one knows him.
It's funny. I was talking to a friend yesterday in London, and I talked about the Jesse Hogan story and talked them through it. How he had to go in quarantine, and then he took the whole 24 hours to have a lady over, and I was just like, "What the fuck is going on, Australia?"
The Ben Brown one I found interesting. They did a comparison with him and Jeremy Cameron on Fox Footy of their last 4 years, and they were almost, apart from this year when he was injured, they were basically identical. In fact, I think Ben Brown was ahead of him. Did you, when you report, is there, when you just lose faith in a player and you just go, we've got to get rid of him, even though, you know, there's, you know, a clear talent there, but you just go, he's not for us anymore. Like, how did it fall apart so quickly at North for Ben Brown?
Yeah, no, that has happened before. I've seen that plenty of times for whatever reason. The player can lose. It's weird to see someone lose confidence and then you think, but you had that ability. And, you know, Choco was great at trying to turn that around with him to go,
yep,
don't forget the things that got you here, that got you drafted. But some guys, it just can't happen. You may remember a bloke called Ryan Willetts at Port. Big, big, vaguely. Big kid. Yeah, vaguely, that's right. He was taken very early. He was going to be a really good player. But he just, for whatever, couldn't get the confidence thing going. And it just dropped and dropped and dropped. And it was like, just not going to get it back. So just wait until he's 2 years up and delist and, you know, let's be done with it. And it happens with several. But the Ben Brown one, maybe it was just because they decided, well, we're going to cut a couple of the old boys because we're heading in a brand new direction. We've got to clean out.
Yeah.
Higgins, Brown, they were the ones who maybe they spoke to and said, what do you reckon? They go, yeah, I'm keen to go. Goldstein might have gone, nah, stay. I'm going to finish off here, thanks. And
we'll bring a hard nut like Jaden Stevenson to stand alongside the other hard nut, Jared Pollock.
I mean, I'm going to presume though, Brown had a big offer on the table. And I'm going to imagine that Melbourne picked him up pretty cheap in the end. And so I just think of like the regret of like going, because he wanted an extra year. I think it was a 3-year deal. He wanted a 4-year deal. And it was dude, you've cost yourself hundreds of thousands of dollars by not signing that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens.
Can we talk quickly about the North Melbourne coaching job? We talked before the show, before we started recording, about your belief that, Choco should be in the mix for...
It should be him. Don't worry about it. No mix. No mix.
Straight up,
no
Choco. We had Choco on Front Bar, and he was the most charismatic, amazing, one of the most amazing guests we've had. And you just go, how is this man not coaching an AFL team? You could just see, especially with juniors, how they would just be drawn to him. And he's clearly a good teacher, which I think you need for a young list like that.
He is. Good development coach, good, really good teacher. He's such a positive.
Yeah.
You know, like, as I said, when blokes were falling apart, he'd be like, remember what got you here, not what's going on now. Why did we draft you? Because you're a good footballer. And he'd instill that in them. And, you know, he just always, and if things don't go right and he makes a mistake, he's a man enough to bring it up. He flew over to a meeting once and said, my fault. Mm-hmm. We're having a really bad year at Port. He said, no, it's all on me. We changed things around too much. Right, we're just going to, the last part of the year, do this, do that. I think we won 6 out of the 8 games. Then the following year, things got better and on we went. So he actually will admit when things aren't going right and he will change it. But I don't think there should be an in the mix. I don't think it should be a job interview. He's well and truly proved what he should be. And in my opinion, one of the smartest blokes in the game. Look, you know, he got pulled up there for all those years against the odds, came in pretty quick, won a flag.
I mean, you know, the Brett Ratton's shown that, you know, coaches that have had jobs and then lost them are, you know, are viable again. So I'm thinking maybe Mark Neal to North Melbourne, I think, would be a good fit. You know, he's personable. He can really sell the club. He doesn't have any annoying ticks that freak people out. So I think get Nealdy back. That's Neal to North Melbourne. Let's push for that. I think that would be great.
Push, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was people love him. I think it was David King saying that Mick Malthouse, your mate, Adam, should get the North Melbourne job.
Oh, fuck. Why would North do that?
It'd give us material for about a year and a half.
Oh, mate. And you know what? I reckon, I'm putting it out there, I think Mick would do the job.
Can I just sense a bit of angst there, Rosie?
The original logo.
Bristled up a bit. Jeez, he bristled up big time.
So why do you think Choco kind of doesn't get a look at?
I don't know. I seriously do not know. And I have some reliable people and I've spoke to them to try to, and there's no sense. The fact that he got Werribee again, you know, into finals, Riccardi got drafted, a couple of others on the fringe
there.
He just keeps proving it. And I honestly cannot find out why.
And it's not like he's not coaching in the current environment. Like he's proving again at Werribee that he's doing an okay job. It's not like he's out of the system.
No, he's not. And as you mentioned before, he's charismatic. And that's needed in this. Mm. You know, we can be a bit vanilla and a bit plain in the AFL at times. But someone like Choco, you know, I know the AFL love Ross Lyon because he gives. But I think he said no thanks to this one.
Yeah.
I reckon Choco would take it because he would say, right. He's a career coach. He's a footballer.
Yeah.
He just loves the game so much and loves helping people within the code. After they've played, he will still keep in touch with players that he coached, making sure they're okay, how's things going.
When's the last time he called you?
After. I haven't spoken to him. Oh, no. That's not. I saw him. No. A couple of years ago, probably the last time I went to a game, he spotted me and he came over and had a chat and he was like, how you going? How you feeling? Whatnot. And then obviously when he had his cancer scare, we chatted. He's outstanding human, still one of the best I've ever come across. You know?
Yes.
And I'm thankfully gave
Mark
him my
Neal.
Start.
That's what people say about Mark Neal though, you know. I don't wanna keep pushing it, but I tell you.
Talking cheats.
Be a good fit.
I'm trying to work out how Choco recognised you. I don't know what it was. Was it the tax on the head or the beard?
Coomsie?
He couldn't remember the first name, but anyway.
But, I mean, it's an interesting thing with North too, though, by the fact that if Richard does come back for 2022, it's like thing, I mean, do you do a job for a year? What if they make finals? Blah, blah, blah.
We'll see him again, mate.
Restart, yeah, sure. Gotcha.
Hey, one question I wanted to ask you before we get into the draft, the top 10. Mm. Were you at Port when they were trying to ship Wayne Carey around? And did Port consider him?
I was there, but not that I was privy to. I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
I was there.
Let me think. He had a story a few weeks ago. He said that he was a chance of going to Essendon. He met with Matt Lloyd and Kevin Sheedy. Oh. So that would have been the end of 2000. Wow. Yeah,
yes. And Lloydie thought they had
29.
Well, Lloydie was like, Sheedy said, I think he brought in a whiteboard and said, here's the forward line, you know, Carey, centre forward, Lloyd full forward, Hurd in the flank or a pocket. And he's like, look at that, that's amazing. But then the Duck was like, I just need to get out of Melbourne. Need to get out
of Melbourne.
Why? I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I think the,
I wish
the dollar
I'd come clean with that.
The dollar's better value in Adelaide, isn't it?
Yeah. And Adelaide gave up a really high pick for him too.
Did they?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a first rounder. They coughed up first rounder for him. Yeah,
I guess. I thought it was. But I think Duck only did about 2 years there. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, body broke down.
He did 2 years and a lot of other. Yeah, hey, come on. Hey, what else did he do? Hey, come on.
Shall we hit up the top 10?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Go for it. Just get my paperwork sorted. Get rid of all that beautiful hard work on the
love it.
Trades.
Have we got a few, trade, in fact. We've got a few father sons this year. There's Morris Rowley Jr., if I'm correct.
Michael, let the man do his job.
Well, no,
you're
correct.
You ask the question, I'll answer.
I mean, he sounds like you put the word Rioli in anything, they sound like an enticing player, don't they?
Yeah, doesn't matter. He's a superstar. I love him. You go and watch his vision, mate. The Tigers is fair dinkum sitting back going, of all the years, this is the one we got the jet.
Yeah, right. Wow. Yeah.
It's going to be a Dacos first pick next year, isn't it?
Yeah. I have actually, I've got a fair bit of time. I actually did have a little bit of a squiz at some of his stuff too. Jeez. He's looking all right.
I think that's
why Collingwood done all this. They know that next year
they
get the one and that'll solve everything.
Yep.
I think I saw a tweet during the week, and it said, I think it was 7 of the last 8 premierships have had a Rioli in the team.
Is that right? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel's been in 3 out of 4.
Yeah, Cyril 3. And then
Hawks had 3.
Eagles, Willie.
Oh, Willie.
Yeah. But then if you think about Adam, also of the last 8 premierships, they've all coached at Hawthorn. So Hawthorn's won 8 in a row. As Adam cracks a drink.
When you're talking about Hawthorn, though, I must say it is heavy heart to say goodbye to Puopolo.
Yeah.
Stratton as well. Great servants. And I think Pup go down in history as one of the best picks ever. So,
And good on them for giving them that final game as well, to send them off the way Essendon didn't do with Tom Bell Chambers.
Yes.
And to clarify for people who aren't aware, Craig was quite formative in getting Pup over to Hawthorn.
That's what I say. Mate, that's probably my greatest thrill, especially when 30 seconds after he's picked, I got a text going, are you happy now? Yes, I am. 3 years we worked hard on this one. And
Does he give you a cut of his pay? Because, got him there.
Thing is, we've had Chambers had dinner with Puopolo. We have spoken, and I said to him, once all this pandemic stuff's over and I'm feeling capable, we're going to catch up. He's going to come over here, bring his 3 premiership medals. And I'll be able to hopefully wear one and feel pretty happy and have a chat with a great man. And
you should take a photo of you wearing that medal topless, because that's the way it seems to be done.
That's my forte, that. So
yeah, but if it's a Richmond, like the Richmond players, pictures of their medals with topless people.
Puopolo has had a very big impact, I think, on a lot of the Hawthorn people. I got a mate whose daughter was devastated that he retired because she named her cat after him.
Yeah.
And they have a family tradition.
Put down now.
Well, I was just going to say they have a family tradition. He had Piggy, was one cat. Then Platts was the next cat. And now Poppy, she called it. So
Platts doesn't even know it's a cat. It's just fucking wandering around. It's barking.
Piggy.
In the Hawthorn era, there was a lot of buddies going around, like dogs. I know someone has a Ruffy, and my sister has Cyril, the dog.
Yeah, a friend of mine has Dipper and Tucky.
Any Carlton ones here, Rosie? People with pets?
No, Bruce? I don't know anyone with a dog called Diesel or Styx. Styx would be a good dog. I imagine the bark on Styx.
Got off track there, but I just want to acknowledge Pup. He's been a bit of a legend, a good player. And,
absolutely.
Done well.
So I'm looking at the order now. So, and this will change with the various trading and the, you know, bidding and stuff. So number one, Adelaide, two North, three Sydney, four, five Gold Coast, six to eight Essendon, Adelaide again at nine, and then Giants at 10.
Yeah, and I do think it's going to change up a little bit. There is this rumour about another 24 hours of trading.
Yeah.
No, 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 no.
Not going to happen?
Well, that's so unfair. You've had 8 days to do your work. Well, 8 legal days to do your work.
Yeah.
6 months of trying to get this done. As you know, they start talking way before that, you know. And obviously the hub gave them a marvellous opportunity
to
accidentally meet and chat mask to mask. Well, they didn't have to wear masks up there, did they?
No.
So they had a lot of time in elevators and they had a lot of opportunity. And then
on the golf course.
Tennis. To then say, we'll give you one more, I reckon it's so unfair and so wrong. You couldn't do your job in 8 days. No.
Yeah, that's fair
enough. I know it's been an extraordinary year. We get all that. But another 24-hour period, what's that going to do?
If I think the American election has shown us anything, we need to count every trade, okay? None of the illegal trades.
Yeah.
Well, how many of those reckon there are? There comes ones that go so quick, you go, geez, I worked on that quick. That was done in March.
Hey, we were talking before about, you know, not being able to see the Victorian under-18s play this year. Did you in your time see someone that at the year before they were going to get drafted, they were a Jet, and then just fall right off the radar, which potentially could happen to a speculative pick this year? You're like, fuck, he was good at 17, and then when he was 18, he was shit. Did that happen a bit?
Yeah. I can even remember the kid's name at that. My one that I attached my chain to the year before and thought, as a 17, I've got to tell you what, we've got one to follow for next year.
Yep.
I'll ride him pretty hard and I reckon he's going to be a real good player because he was great at 17. His name was Robert Cheevers and he played at Oakley. And I had him in my top 10 and...
just fell away.
Did not even get close. And I still had him in my top 10, my first list. And I was so hesitant watching him play one game. He had a couple of kicks. He had 3 kicks. Oh, but they were 3
damaging
kicks.
100%
fullback.
100%. That's right. It's all about efficiency.
Yeah.
And that's what Port were about, kicking efficiency. That's what Hawthorn were about, kicking efficiency. Mm. So 3 effective kicks. And poor old Chiefs, I think he ended up going to Port Melbourne maybe. And I thought, well, he might, you know, now that he's against many or no. So I don't know what happened. He just
So that is the potential flaw in this year's system is teams could go, fuck, he's a good 17-year-old, and then when they pick him up, they just go, oh God, he's that year.
Like Coons was saying before, like it's a really interesting year because it's like, do we almost like take a prediction or do we take what we know? You know, from a WA and South Australia who actually
Do you think it'll be predominantly WA and South Australian players filling the top 10?
1, 2, 3 or 5, maybe, outside. Because the thing is, there's a couple of Victorian kids that in the 16s year and whatever, or played bottom age last year, were fantastic.
Yep.
So they're going to be the punt pick kids where they'll go. They were great as bottom age against the 18-year-olds. We're pretty sure, you know, they've had a history. 16s are good, 17s are good. We're going to go with it.
Yeah.
And you know, this obsession with the Victorian kids being the best comp and all that sort of stuff, they tend to get a bit more of an advantage. But I'd say if you looked at the start of the year, if you tried to do it, you would have had, maybe one from interstate.
Okay. So it has changed your thinking.
I had one guy early on the start of the year. I just tried to just get a top 50 out of, you know, different other people and try to find lists, and a guy like was 40-odd, and he's number 2.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear your top 10, Coombs.
Yeah. Actually, just very quickly, Craig, can I ask a question? We talk about efficiency with Port early and before, and then Hawthorn's kind of dominant era. There was a whole lot of left-footers and the like. Was that just by chance, or was that...
No, that was the directive. The left-footer was a directive. Apparently, they're better kicks.
Yep. Proven. Yep.
Yeah.
And David Rath, with all these... you know, technology-based stuff, and it was a perfect plan, and it was executed so well, and it worked. it really worked. So, no, very much a directive.
Well, a triumph for all the lefties out there, because old Chambo, a lefty.
Oh, well, and nominate, because there's a fair chance you might get a run this year.
Okay. Well, I'll get the paperwork done very quickly.
Chamberlain-esque, remember? That's your biggest trait, Chamberlain-esque. Not sure what the esque means.
Yeah, we all know what it means.
Damaging outside player.
Sweet. So number one, so the Adelaide. So, dude, again, I'll detour a tad. This team played in the grand final in 2017. What the hell went wrong? I mean, is it the camp? Like, it can't all be the camp, surely.
It's the Richmond curse. The last two, Adelaide played Tigers, got belted down the gurgler. Who was next?
GWS.
What happened to them? Didn't make
not
the
a lot.
So see you later, Geelong won't make the eight. The Tiger curse comes back. I think that camp did have a lot to do, by the way, Chamber. But the Tiger curse and the camp, let's put the two of them together.
I didn't know we were talking about Kevin Bartlett, but that's okay.
pick one.
We all know that Jamara Ugle-Hagan is an academy kid for the Bulldogs, is the best player in this draft by an absolute streak, absolute jet.
Will Adelaide, do you think Adelaide will nominate him at one? No. They won't. Okay, they won't bother.
What's the point?
I guess just to force the dog's hand, I suppose, but doesn't do anything, does it?
Yeah. No, it doesn't do anything. Yeah. And then it takes from Adelaide the opportunity to at least have a number one pick and get some PR, good PR, because they've had none.
Yeah.
They finished off the year okay.
Yeah.
So why don't we just piggyback off that? Let's give the kid that mantle piece and say, well, you know. And I know people go, oh, the pressure of the number one, all this sort of stuff. Yeah, okay.
Mate, well. Jack Watts handled it really well.
So be it. Well, yeah. So I think it serves no purpose for them to go,
okay,
we pick Jamara, because then all of a sudden they've got the next pick, which is the kid they pick in the first place.
Yeah, gotcha.
So get rid of all the rubbish. It'll be Riley Silthorpe out of SA.
Riley.
Yeah, T-H-I-L-T. O-R-P-E.
Riley Silthorpe.
That's the one.
Silthorpe. Yeah. That's
why I've spelt it for you.
Silthorpe. So he's got Torp in his name. That's great.
Yeah, he's Torpy. You know. Key forward ruck, 299.
Okay. Plunker.
Yeah, and that's what the Crows need, is my opinion.
Yep.
I need someone to go forward because Tex is just about cooked.
Yeah.
Just about.
Just about cooked.
Okay, that's been
and
kind.
Then, yes, I know. I like Tex. He was a good boy when my son was at Norwood, and he was, and we got on very well. So.
And where's Riley from?
He's an Adelaide boy, I think. Westies, maybe.
Yep.
But he played a lot of senior footy.
Okay.
And again, that's helped him, and he can do a bit of ruck work too, and that'll help O'Brien out a bit, but.
Do you think he'll play a lot next year, or they'll just kind of develop him?
No,
yeah, he will, straight in.
Crows have no time to develop.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're walking into the bottom team and your number one draft pick, you're expected
you're
to be playing round one, aren't you?
And he will. And they don't like that word, Rosie, over there in that country. The country, I mean, that state. Adelaide. It's not something that they're used to doing from where they are.
Yeah.
Crows have never, you know. So I reckon... do that. Now, number two, again, it's not going to serve North any purpose to call out Jamara.
Is he clearly the best player in this draft?
Clearly.
Right.
Clearly, not just.
Okay. Yeah, right.
If it was an open draft and no, he wasn't an academy kid, they couldn't
be number one.
Crows couldn't say it quick enough.
Righto. Okay. So he's really good.
And he's a jet, mate. He's not Buddy-esque. Really good.
That's what I'm hearing.
He can play back and forward, this kid. That's why I like him, utility. Yeah. Bulldogs have a headache going, where are we going to play him?
Can we give his full name again to the listeners so we can go and look up
his
on YouTube?
His name is Jamara, with a J, Jamara Ugle-Hagan.
Yeah, cool.
And you go and look at his vision. You're going to have fun.
Yeah.
If you're a football lover, go and watch this kid and Morris Rioli Jr.'s vision. And then you're going to have a bit of fun. Morris loves chasing. So, again, North Melbourne at two. no value at all in naming Jamara as their pick. Plus, they did do a trade with the Bulldogs, so the with Young.
Yeah, okay.
So
yep.
Scratch my back, scratch your back. Kangaroos lost Ben Brown. They're going to go for Logan McDonald, the big kid from WA. Okay. He played a lot of senior footy, and I think it might now might be 9 or 10 games. He kicked 23 goals in senior footy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the one that I not knew a single thing about, and had him back at 50 odd, just based off other people, and he's rocketed up at 2. He can clunk them. Jeez.
And did he roll over the year or
196?
Okay.
Always big, and he can mark.
So he's not a long term replacement for Todd Goldstein, but he's a key forward.
He's a key forward. He's full forward. Not a ruck. He's 196 and 88.
Okay.
So he's still got a bit of area to put a bit of weight, a couple more kilos. But yeah, I think the Crows will be tossing up. They're both, good marking players, but the safety of the stay-at-home player, I think they'd be mad if they didn't do it. Then we get the 3, Sydney, same deal with Jamara. I don't think there's value. They'll go with the academy kid, Braden Campbell. He's one of theirs. So just straight to him. Why make him wait another pick, he's a midfielder. I think he's a left-footer. Um, 180 and 73, ball magnet. Did play in their NFL team last year and done all right. So, again, one they know, one they're sure of. Again, don't make a kid wait. Just call him at 3. Bit of prestige going on top.
You don't think he's a bit undersized at 180?
No,
or he's
no, not the
skills.
Kid.
Okay.
He looks pretty. He looks sharp. And again, he played well in their NFL team.
Yeah, right.
So he's actually had a hit out against men and done all right.
And they know what they're getting.
Perfect. In this year, what you're getting.
Yep.
You'd be pretty happy. I reckon Swans will be pretty happy with this guy. Okay. They're starting to build a little bit with their young group.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
The only thing that surprised me was letting Aaliyah go. I just couldn't. I don't know what happened there because
it was really strange, wasn't it?
I don't know why. I can't get to the bottom of it. He's a magic pick for him and Fantasia for Port. It's just two lovely pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah.
Because
Fantasia can play forward, which then means Rosie or Butters are going to get a bit more time through midfield. Yeah, good luck. Our boy, kind of Rosie and backs, which we got him a couple of years ago, remember?
Yes, I do.
We called him year out. He's a superstar.
I suppose the thing with the Swans is that if you look back in the history, they've apart from maybe missing the finals a couple of times, they've been up for 15 years.
Long time. Probably so it had to happen, didn't it?
Regenerate, yeah.
So he'll go 3. Then we get to 4. Now the Hawks.
Here we go. Again.
Here we go. I don't think they're going to call Jamara. No. They're going to do it. No, I don't think they're going to do it. I'm probably going to get this wrong. The Crows will probably call him at 1 just to mess everything up. But I don't see any value in the Hawks doing it either. And in the top few picks, it doesn't make any difference. There's not a lot of difference with the points used. And there's no, maybe...
I think you're forgetting that Alistair Clarkson coaches Hawthorn. Yeah, so if anyone is going to fuck with the Bulldogs...
Yeah, I think they're going to recruit Stewie Jew again.
I certainly don't think the top 3 will. It could come at this one, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Just got a little feeling it's going to go somewhere else. I reckon they'll go for the key back kid, the kid from WA. Denver is his first name.
Love it.
Probably the first player by the name of Denver to play over.
I think you're right, yeah.
And certainly his surname is also the first player, Granger - Barass.
Granger Barass. I love it.
Dude.
WA, key defender, 195. Thank you very much. And 78, and can move.
Okay.
I think the Hawks need him.
We're going to need that. We're going to need back. We lost Stratton, who, weren't in the peak of their careers, but we definitely need that big back now.
Picked up Hardigan, who was a wonderful pickup, by the way. Suits perfectly, but get this kid in and maybe might not play, early, but will play. And if he reads the ball like the West Coast Barass, in the air,
gun,
but this guy's going to be right. So I reckon
pick
4. Okay, pick 5, Gold Coast. Again, I don't think Jamara's getting called here.
So it's going to be Essendon that's going to do it, isn't it? Fucking Essendon.
Wait. I reckon the Gold Coast, good honest club, just trying to build that midfield group. They're going to go with a midfielder. There's two guys here or three guys that I'm tossing up between. But I think maybe they're just going to go with a bit more of a bull, Elijah Hollands. Vic okay. Kidd. 188 and 85. So he's got a bit of size, and I think they like that in their mids.
Yeah.
Rowell's
a big unit.
And also they got Hugh Greenwood in there. They like and swallow. They like the bigger size, and I think that's what tipped them in front of the other guy, Will Phillips, and Finlay McRae. They were the three I'm sort of, but I just got a gut feeling like Hollands. He didn't obviously. He wasn't going to play anyway, 2020, because they'd done a knee, I think.
Now we talked last year about. Oh, sorry, we go on.
Well, they can stockpile him with the mids they got coming through.
I know we talked about Rowell and Anderson 1-2 last year. What was your take? We only got to see Rowell for a little bit, but are they, as good as what you expected?
Would have won the Brownlow, wouldn't you, if you played all year?
Yeah.
It was an amazing beginning.
It was, wasn't it? And he would have, the only thing was then the other clubs would have then started to put more time in him to go, this kid can play, all right, let's lock down and we'll do that. So that's going to be his challenge now because everyone knows.
Yeah.
To go, when we're playing the Gold Coast, he's their number one mid. Let's put time into him. And that's where Greenwood might get off the chain a bit more and Anderson might, and whoever else they move through there. But he can play, can't he? Yeah. And he's a good citizen. So,
do you have a bit of hope for the Goldie? They've kind of shown a bit more this year, didn't they?
And I picked up Markov, so it's going to give them a little bit more run because they're missing Hanley now gone. So, again, there's a little bit more. I think they're just incremental. I don't think they're going to do a bigger, bang.
Yeah, so no finals next year, but just thereabouts.
They're just knocking on the door.
Okay.
We'll have everyone knocking on the door. All right. Pick six.
Into the bombers.
Football call. Jamara Ugle.
Oh, no.
Because we didn't get Dunkley.
Yes. Great.
There's a Seinfeld reference here. Why are they picking him? Out of spite.
Awesome. Awesome.
If he gets through this far, oh please, I hope he gets through this far and I'm proven right. I could look like a Dill and he's going to be taken at one, fair enough. But do you not think with Essendon got three picks out of spite, they will just go calling him?
Just to clarify, what do Essendon have to pay to get him if he's a Doggies academy kid?
No, Essendon won't get him.
Bulldogs will match it.
Bulldogs match it. They use like three picks later on that amount to that amount of points. Is that right?
And that's why they got rid of 14 to get the points from 26, 33 and whatever number.
That's so exciting. I can't wait.
So let's hope it happens because it's spite.
Yeah. No, I love it. Love spiteful.
They are the ones who got most reason to pick him just to say, well, you didn't do a thing by us, so we're going to pick him just to make you do that.
And it sounds like something Dodoro would do.
It does, doesn't it? Out of all the other clubs, you don't think the Crows are going to do it because where they're at, North, no.
Yep.
Sydney, nice people. Clarko at four, of course. Could pull the chain. Gold Coast won't. But they got three picks, Essendon. They got nothing to lose and go, all right, let's just do it. Make them sweat the mongrels. So pick six, I'm going to say Jamara. Shouldn't be pick six, should be pick one. Yeah. There's the caveat, but let's say. So that now moves Essendon, pick 7, 8, and 9.
Okay.
At the moment, because as we know,
they could
and I've got a gut feeling they might with someone. Don't know who.
Okay.
But they could split it. I don't see the value in keeping three here. But these guys are actually, these are guys I think going to be okay.
What did you think of them getting Jai Caldwell? Now, you rated him as a youngster.
Yeah, I did. We had him in our top 10. We did.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that that's the kind of midfielder they needed? Another slightly shorter, one pace kind of.
I see where you're going. Yeah. And he's pretty much like what they got, but I think he's going to be a good player.
Like Dunkley was the difference. You could see what he would bring to the side, big inside mid.
Correct.
But whereas Caldwell,
they just had to get something in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
I think they needed to
add
pull
to
something
depth.
Out of here.
Yep.
But he is a good player. You're right. He is a good player. So he'll do all right there. And that's why the Giants were a bit cheesed off, thinking, they've lost Cameron, right. Williams, Core.
To lose him for pick 29, that's a pretty good deal, I thought.
Yeah, well, it is, you know. So I think GWS, I don't even think there's no chance they'll make the eight. No chance.
They just can't, can they? I mean, yeah, I mean,
no, they can't.
Now, you look at now the, I mean, we talked about a couple of years ago when they made the grand final, but like, you look at the team that have left the GWS, if they played the GWS, you go like, it's not incredible. Even competition anymore. Yeah.
Nope.
And again, but I find it interesting as well with the Giants by the fact that it's not like they don't have everything going for them, by the fact that, you know, they're in Sydney, you know, they're under the radar, like the players, you know, can walk down the street and not be harassed. They get good money. Like, it's interesting that they just get picked off by these other clubs. I'm not suggesting, like, a culture problem or anything, but I just figure it would be the most enticing club to be at, you know, in all.
But what's greater Western Sydney like, that living area? What's it? I mean, you're up there by, aren't you, mate? But
I am. I mean, I feel like they...
What he's asking is, what's the land of the falafel like?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, as Eddie McGuire once said, yeah. And then when he apologised for it, he said, I'm going to have to fall on my kebab here.
Did he?
Eddie's a good bloke. I feel
do
like
they all live, you know, they all live in Greater Western Sydney, or they drive in, or...
I feel like they drive in. They were obviously at Breakfast Point in the first couple of years, which is not too far. But I mean, it's the kind of thing where, geez, I mean, Toby Green could walk through the city of Sydney and no one would know who he was, you know.
So it's in your papers up there, what page number are we turning in from the back?
The Daily Telegraph, I think.
They're in the obituaries at the moment.
It's been a while it's been a fair while since I've picked up a physical paper, but I remember years ago.
I'm an old bloke.
But I remember years ago, the Daily Telegraph was the official paper of the Swans. That was like on a kind of a byline, I suppose. And you'd have to go back like 13 pages to find a story. Okay. From the back page. Yeah. So
we're still doing that.
Yeah. It's still a long way from, having said that though, like it's fucking sick going to a Giant Stadium. Like it's really cool stadium. You know, it's cool going to a Swans game. But I feel like in Sydney it's like there are like 60,000 Swans fans and they're the ones that were going to the game. Like it's not expanding. And I feel like at the Giants, like, I feel like they're like, you know,
30, 40,
yeah. And like they're the ones going to the game. So it's not like everywhere.
Are they the relatives of the players and friends?
No, they don't bother. Okay. All right, what are the Bombers doing, Coombsy?
All right, I picked 7, 8, and 9 here. Let's say they keep them. I think they're going to, obviously, they can, you know, be smart with their selections. I think they'll go the other midfield I was talking about, Will Phillips. Really did have good junior footy and good championships at bottom major, 180 and 79. So he's almost the perfect, similar to myself. You know, height for weight, 100 down.
Yep. So how tall are you? You're 6'9".
223 centimetres.
Yeah, great, great.
What's that equate to? 7 foot.
Yeah, you're enormous. Yeah.
7'4". I'm 7'4".
Yeah. You're a Collingwood 7 footer.
I've had a good COVID. Let's put it that way. So he's a mid. I reckon they then might top up with another mid because, as you were saying, Rosie, there's a little point of difference that we need.
Yeah.
And yeah, because younger. Tanner Bruhn, as in, and he's Bruhn, his surname. So Tanner
Bruhn.
Might be the first. No, he's not the first Tanner, is he? What was the North Melbourne? No, that was. Oh, no, no. Is he the first Tanner?
That was Wayne Schimmelbusch.
It was Roscoe Tanner. It was Roscoe Tanner, wasn't it? Yeah, Roscoe Tanner. A tennis player, yeah. He's a 182-73, so a little bit lighter frame, a bit quicker.
Okay, yep.
Gets in there. He's a pretty good player. There's pretty good wraps on this bloke.
So we're still looking at, like, out of 7 or 8, like, there's still, we've got, what, 4 midfielders? So.
Yep, and the Vic midfielders, because they did actually have a good championship at under 16s, these guys. Okay. And these guys played bottom age last year. So this is the punt picks we're going. They've had a couple of years of consistent good footy at the highest level.
Yeah, right. So you kind of go,
let's just be confident.
We think that they can play. We just don't know how good they can play.
Correct. And pop them in our system. Let's try. Now, this pick is where they can be a little bit more selective. And I've popped someone in there that's probably coming from outside everybody else's top 10. Because I think if they hold the 3 picks, they need a key defender. tall bloke, and I've gone for Zach Reed, also a Victorian kid. I think he's 202 and 82.
Okay.
So he should play, yeah, but he can move and he can mark. I was just watching some more vision of him before we had our chat here, and he can pack, like inside a pack, take a mark. He was really good. I went back over him a few times thinking, geez, you know, this, he could be a real, real good player, this guy.
Well, it sounds like Ben Mackay, Harry Mackay's brother, who's now at North.
Yeah.
202, that's 6'8".
Yeah, that's big. A big unit.
Sheesh,
and he can mark, but he moves all right. And so the vision I saw, he moved. I know he's predominantly got him as a defender in all his listings and everything as well. But the way he sort of pack marked and that, I thought he could play forward if they need him to. And obviously Essendon need both ends filled.
Yep. That's
after
true.
After losing Danaher as well, and
yeah,
and then poor old Kyle Hooker and Hurley are just about
cooked.
Yeah, I think they've played more footy in, if I'm saying they've played 20 games, it's like they've played 50, because they've been there and taken everything so long.
Are you surprised that after losing Danaher that Essendon didn't throw themselves into the mix for Ben Brown, or is it just like we'll go for a junior when we get him next year maybe?
Well, I thought they did early with Ben Brown, and then it, whatever reason, they just veered off that path. Yeah, because again, he would have been a good fit for them, wouldn't he?
I would have thought so.
Yeah, straighten them up a bit.
Ready made, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, we need something there. So who else are going to play out of full forward or forward?
Who's so you're saying with the Bombers, though, they go for the two midfielders, and then for that third pick,
and they can kind of if they can
do a replacement out of it. First.
He'd be a guy that most people would probably have, you know, ranked 15 to 20, I'd say.
Yeah, right.
I don't look at other guys. I don't go through their rankings because I don't care what they think. But I'd say he'd be there because I haven't heard his name being thrown around when you hear everyone's. I liked his vision.
A bit like you said earlier. So Essendon have obviously the luxury of three picks, but you say, you know, you go for the best player first, and then for the second or third pick, you then target a position.
You can when you're having three, and he's not so far back. You had ranked 60, there's no way you'd be doing that at pick 8, at pick, yes, 7, 8, 9, whatever he was, 9.
Don't underestimate Essendon, my friend.
he's close enough at 9, I would think, so.
Yeah.
And pick 10,
before we get to just to give Essendon fans some comfort, is he the new Scott Gumbleton?
Gumbleton was a flipping good junior, mate. He was
outstanding. Just couldn't get his body right, could he?
Tore it up and just couldn't. But
he was the old Charlie Kerner.
Yeah, he was the old. How you feeling? You okay?
I mean, we haven't had him for over a year, but it's pretty devastating.
And then on top of poor old Doherty's news, that's horrible. And I do feel for him. Crews are going. I mean, geez.
Anyway, pick 10.
You'll Let's be right. Pick 10. This is a port. This is Adelaide, and this is Lockie Jones, but it will be matched by Port Adelaide because he's one of theirs. So I reckon the Crows, they'll do it to Port, no problem. Don't think they'll do it to Bulldogs, but they'll make Port pay up. He's a real good player, this guy. Defensive mid type, 185-88, so got a bit of size. And we know Port are loving the guys with a bit of Ollie Wines, Boke, bit of tough around the edges, and obviously they're getting near the end. So this guy's he tested really well, played a bit of senior footy. So Port Adelaide will end up with him at pick 10, matching the Crows.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's the top 10. And there's seriously two guys that outside that top 10 I like that I think could be really good players. Finlay McRae, which is obviously Jackson's brother.
Yep.
So I don't know where he'll end up, but he should be fairly soon after the top 10. And I think my biggest punt pick, which we've done all right with these last few years, I must admit, look back, kid called Nathan O'Driscoll out of WA. He's an absolute bull. He's one of them, he's the sort of player, he's like, see ball, get ball, just killing you, just
Cripper.
Mental, mental go at it, goal of the year, Cripper. Mental go at it, the ball sort of guys. It's Nathan O'Driscoll. And I'd be really keen to see where he falls, because I reckon he's one that we're talking about next year and going, this guy can play.
Okay.
And the other one's going to be Morris Rioli Jr., wherever the Tigers get him. If someone will force him at pick 17, maybe.
I was going to say, what do you think? What do the Tigers have to give up, or how do they grab him in?
Yeah, someone will call him at some point. They might not do it before pick 17, so the Tigers might get someone at 17, and then their next two picks, they'll have to use points to get him. Someone will call him out then, surely.
Yeah, sure.
Have you seen his vision?
I have watched a few times. Sorry.
You have watched a bit of his?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. He loves to chase and tackle and hurt guys when he tackles them.
Yeah.
And I think that suits Richmond beautifully. And the other thing I think that'll do for Richmond is the competitiveness between Rioli's. It'll make Dan better. Because I know at Port, we had one Corns bring the other in, and they both went to an excellent level because they wanted to be better. And the Burgoyne thing was the same. Peter was a good player. When Sean arrived, he was a much better player.
Yeah, that didn't work with the Lonies, though.
Yeah, they were a different kettle of fish, mate. Real good. I'll tell you something off here. I want to tell you something about those two.
Well, they were the ones, remember, that used to be voted for the toughest player in the comp, and Brisbane voted one of the Lonies as the hardest player.
That is one of the worst. That's honesty right to your face, isn't it? Yeah.
That's bullying at the highest. Yeah. That's the most alpha bullying you've ever seen.
Yep.
And then what are you going to do? Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to go up to John Brown and the Scott brothers and be like, what did you fucking do that for? And they're like, mate, we'll kill you. We'll eat you. We'll eat you.
It sleeps with three lights on. But and our great name that we got out of last year's draft got drafted. You won't remember. I remember all this. But the name we picked out of last year's draft was Biggie Newen. Remember? And the Tigers picked Biggie up, and he finished second, I think, in the AFL sprint. At half time, Biggie.
Oh, there you go.
On the grand final.
Yeah. Oh, we finished up there somewhere, maybe. But Biggie, he's doing all right.
He's quick.
The one thing that did amaze me when I looked at the top 10, I looked at the names and thought, there's going to be a few blokes here with the first names that have, never played footy before. Denver, Jamara, Tanner, Finlay. I reckon we got a few. And then I look back at 10 years ago, just briefly to see the names then. And a few guys in the top 10 were David. This is 2010. You'd know 2010 number one pick, David Swallow. It was a Harley. Okay, that'd be different. But then we had Sam, Andrew, Jared, Josh, Daniel. Pretty
boring.
Yeah. And then we go back to 2010. Nick and Justin at 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You know who they are.
Yeah.
Rewalt
and Cozzy.
Then we had Alan, Luke, Andrew. It's like, how different are they going to look in? Alan. You know who number three was back in 2000? Alan?
Didzy.
Alan Didz, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Didac, beautiful. Luke, Andrew, Lawrence. We had a Lawrence in there.
Lawrence Angwin. Oh, the great man. The Carlton champion. Get on the Googs.
And 2010's one, the 2010 version. Daniel Gorringe was at 10. Remember Gorringe?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy from Big Brother House.
Yeah. Big Brother, yeah.
And I looked at this year's 10 and thought, well, there you go. What are the names going to be like in 10 years' time?
Yeah.
Well, I think luckily that Jack Higgins are going to St Kilda. I think that now means that everybody on the list in St Kilda is called Jack.
And that's a strange one to me too. I'm not sure about that, because he said he wanted to go there for more midfield time. And in an interview, I saw that he said he could see himself as a small forward who will hopefully progress to a midfielder. But I know he had a great love for the Saints, so it might have been the tipping point was like, I love the Saints so much, and he needs a fresh start. Again, with Richmond having such incredible depth, they'll just bring three or four more through this year. And
well, that's the thing, Yeah, I mean, Jack Egan's friend of the show. But I think it's that kind of thing where you are at a team that's won three out of the last four flags. And
Yeah.
Obviously,
and you could see the other depth. Yep.
Yeah.
Incredible effort to get back.
Yeah, he had his brain concerns, last year, but just out of getting, going to a less strong list to be able to get a consistent game.
Yeah, and he'll play. He should play every week.
Yes, he'll get good minutes there.
And the Saints still done all right. Got what they wanted. McKernan just a backup. Crouch adds to it. Higgins adds to it.
Crouch is good to have for Mad Monday.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it'd be very handy.
Need a few more on your list.
I still don't think they're going to challenge the top four. I just think the top four that separate themselves this year, to be honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next year, the top four.
You don't think West Coast can get back into the top four?
No, I don't.
Really?
How did you know I had them fifth? I didn't. So.
Mm.
I said next year's top four, and I don't have West Coast in it.
Yeah.
I think Tigers are obviously going to be very difficult. You think Geelong should be thereabouts. They'll be very disappointed if they're not.
Carlton playing finals next year?
Yes, mate. They picked up Williams.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for, Frank.
Okay. Williams and Saad, two perfect pickups for them. If Williams can play midfield.
Yep.
The only thing is now concerns me with Doherty, because I thought if he doesn't play, then do they then send Williams back to that other halfback with Newman? Or do they just go Saad and Newman and just bank on Plowman or someone else coming through?
Yeah, mate. As a Carlton fan, I can tell you, you can never bank on Plowman.
Never. Yep.
To do anything.
Well, who is it?
Marchbank.
If Marchbank's, you'd be more safe with him.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, anyway, Michael, we'll move away from this.
No. I just mean, fingers crossed. I'm showing my fingers crossed. Hopefully, we can go back to a 22 game season, and we can all play in our home grounds and play, so that's the thing. We've still got to work out there. I know there are so many hot security guards in quarantine hotels. It's difficult to work out how this pandemic is going to spread.
List sizes is the next thing to go. We'll probably get chopped by three, I think is the word.
Yeah, right.
Going around. So, again, with some clubs, that will be handy.
As well.
18s, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll go halfway. Don't know. But it was a well-earned flag, and I think they'll create a bigger dynasty when they'll do it. The three-peat next year, mate.
Dude, it's showing no signs of slowing down, is it?
No, it's not.
And it's not. And because those other guys sitting there, Jack Ross and Collier Dawkins and those guys, they're real good players, buying their time, and other guys are still going to get better. It's great.
Coombsy, thank you so much for your time, mate. As usual, love having you on.
I think we've hit about an hour and a half, man. So good to chat. Good to chat.
Thanks for that. Well, unfortunately, this will be my last one. I just wanted the opportunity to let you know, and my health is in rather rapid decline, unfortunately. It's a two-horse race, the cancer or the liver disease. I think the liver's just got its nose in front. It's going to get me. I certainly won't be in much shape this time next year, if I'm in any shape. So I just want to give you guys the opportunity to find someone else. Look, it's been fantastic to do this. Throughout the year, it's given me something to do, a focus. And certainly this year, I thought, when we were so insular and my wife had to work from home, I had to really concentrate on something else. So she'd come down for morning tests. I can't have morning tea with you, dear. Working for Rosie and Jambo. So you'll have to leave my lounge room. And she came down for lunch. I'm still going. They drive a mean so it's like, thank you for 4 months. I didn't have to have a lunch with her. No. I enjoyed having my wife working home. It was quite good. But it did give me a wonderful focus, because it was harder this year because we just didn't have the resources we've always had. So you had to be a bit more tricky and really watch vision hard, and it was hard work, but I enjoyed it. So it gave me something to do, and I said,
"Mate, we really appreciate it." As you said,
yeah. So I really appreciate it. And look, the people who tend to make lovely comments, I've never had anything bad. I've actually got a couple of guys, I suppose, I now could call friends out of this. Just started following me on Twitter and whatnot, and then we conversed. And
can I just say though that on Twitter no one's ever said anything bad about me on Twitter, so it's just like a kind of place. It's a really friendly place, is what I'm saying.
Apart from all of South America.
South America. So thanks to you guys primarily for giving this opportunity first place. I loved it. Thanks to everyone who listens, the guys and girls out there. as I said. So thanks very much. I've appreciated it greatly. I've had the ball. We've done all right. So if we get out of our 10 this year, I might be a bit surprised. But maybe I can see if Choco can take over from me next year. Asking if he wants to do this gig for
me. It'll be a five-hour podcast.
Know his answer. But he'd be great. So thanks heaps. Be kind to those around you. Look after yourself and look after your friends. Yeah, look after your health. It's the most important thing you got. It's the only thing you got, to be honest. So when it's been taken away from you, it's a bit of a mongrel. But we'll be right. We'll get there at some point in stage. And yeah, cheers.
And I think one of the more beautiful things is that you got two lovely grandkids.
Well, which obviously when I was diagnosed 8 years ago, it was two of the things I thought I'd never do, walk my daughter down the aisle, and which I did. And then she had a, because last year she was still pregnant. That's right. So the listeners do not know, she had a little baby girl, mm-hmm. and she is just so wonderful. It's great to play with her. I was going to say the respect I had for you guys was enormous. Obviously, I've Captain Coles there, if anyone can stand in tights, made it's just a huge, and Chamber, I wanted you to marry my daughter. You remember that? I was quite happy to have you marry my
fucking
daughter.
Hell, mate, you dodged a bullet there. Imagine him as your son-in-law. You're fucking kidding me.
I said it in an open forum in front of her as well.
Mate, I think you've had too many endone. You fucking lost your mind.
I mean, I don't know. Does your daughter want to marry someone who has 2009 Hawthorn Premiership figurines? I'm not really sure.
Well, she did marry well. I love my son-in-law. He's a good, hard-working young man. And now I've got a beautiful granddaughter, and I've got a magnificently beautiful grandson who was almost four and can kick the ball like a bull already.
Left foot, right foot?
Both. Seriously, both. And he will be the first kid to be suspended from Auskick because he just sees ball go. Doesn't matter who's there and doesn't get hurt. And as you know, my son's a bit of a hard nut and making a comeback this year in local footy. He's taught him well, but he's going to be the first kid that will be cropped a suspension in Auskick. But anyway.
Mate, I got suspended in under 12s. It happens. They turn out all right.
Dude, we love you so much. And we love this episode so much.
Been a pleasure.
And all the junk dumbers out there love it so much. Yeah. So thank you so much, Craig, again.
All good.
Craig Coombs, the best in the world. We love you.
Thanks, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.